Heck, how did they first discover that there was coal here in the Saginaw area?
Well, in 1861, a fellow named William Walker come to Bay City, put down a well for a salt brine. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of salt wells in Bay City.
Sorry.
And he come here to Bay City to put down this salt well, and he found this coal. And he put this well down, and which created a lot of excitement and this and that. But with the industry was going strong, and the people really needed the fuel too bad, although they were all excited about it. And but there were a lot of wood around, and they just let it go till 1893, when this sawmill, about 5.5 miles out of Bay City, one of the water well put down for their boilers and stuff. So they got a well driller out there to put his water well down, and he found a vein of coal. And then the things started to pop. By the name of Frank and Alex Zagelmeyer, they went ahead then and formed a company to put down a shaft. So, which they did, they formed a company, and they put down this shaft, and of course they found the coal, and the ball were rolling, and it wasn't very long, then they were starting to drill holes all over the Saginaw Valley looking for coal, and they found it here and there all the way from Bay County, Saginaw County, and even some down to Bellevue. They found some coal down there. And
It seems as though Bay City and Saginaw produced about 92% or so of all of Michigan's coal.
They had a little strip mining down in Albany, didn't amount to much. But Saginaw County and Bay counties
were the biggest areas in Michigan for the mining.
This Saginaw Valley, you might say. That's where they, a couple of mines in Tuscola, Akron and Unionville, but most mines were in Saginaw and Bay County. Yeah. That started the ball rolling, and then they started putting down test holes all over the county. In some places they found coal, and some places they didn't. And of course, to find out a coal field, you got to put down a certain amount of holes to find out if it pays to put a shaft down. Wow. See, sometimes they put a hole down, and they maybe found 5 feet of coal, and they go 100 feet either one way or the other, don't find any. So it wouldn't pay to put a shaft down. So they had to find out, put enough, they put maybe dozens and dozens of holes down and say, well, here's a 400 acres got coal, or 300 acres. Well, it pay them to put down a shaft, eh? Mm-hmm. And these drillers, I knew some of them personally, and some of them were not so good, but some were real good. When they said there were 29 inches of coal, you can make up your mind they were not more than an inch or a half inch off. And some fellas, they miss it. They just didn't know their stuff. But I know some of these drillers in my time were, when they said there's 3 foot of coal there, there was 3 foot of coal.
Pretty darn accurate.
Pretty darn accurate. It was maybe an inch or, never more than an inch off, a half inch off, or something like that. And some drillers, we put down some holes where the fellow said there was so much coal there, and we hired one of these guys to put the hole down, and it was nothing but black shale. It was no coal at all.
There was no coal.
No, it wasn't coal. And when we put that mine under mine down, we thought we had records of them holes, and so we just wanted to prove them if there was how much coal there was and what kind of coal, and we didn't find out but black shale. Because this driller knows his stuff. See? So when they put down his mine, they always put down a hole here, and you found so much coal, and then maybe go 100 feet this way and find the coal, and then you go another 100 feet this way, and that way you find out there's a couple hundred acres or 300-400 acres or so forth, and it would pay to put a shaft down to mine coal. And that's when these Zagelmeyers, after these Zagelmeyers formed this company, put the shaft down, and then on, things started to pop. That in 1861, people got all excited, but Fuel wasn't too much of a problem because they had a lot of wood to burn. Lumber business
sure
was
lumbering.
They had free. We might say it was free. See?
Yeah.
But by in the 1990s and 1993, it was a little bit a different story. And then they started drilling all over the Saginaw Valley, and of course, I imagine they hit Saginaw and wherever they drilled, and then they found out where all this coal was, and then they started. It wasn't very long. They had a lot of mines going.
And it all began more or less by accident. To drill.
Yeah, this fellow put this. They had a lot of brine wells in the Bay County one time. Built was a lot of big producing salt place basically.
Uh-huh.
And then this man Walker come here, and he found this coal. It was east of the Saginaw River, right, an old Michigan Pipe Company used to be. It's gone now. Mm-hmm. And with the purpose of finding the salt brine. And he found this coal, and then nothing happened till '93 when these fellows put this water well down for the sawmill, so they are magical for their boilers and stuff like that. And he found coal. And I think he found a pretty good vein of coal and pretty good height, and that's where they put this shaft down. He says 5.5 miles out of Bay County. There must have been around Mackinac Road and Salisbury Road, where this little settlement developed then, which they call Colfax.
When was this now?
Well, that must have been in 1893 and 94.
Right, in the 1890s, uh-huh.
Yeah, in the late 1890s.
Uh-huh.
And because 5.5 miles from Bay County would be
right there,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be five. Mackinac Road is 5 miles, and it was just past Mackinac Road where these shafts were, see?
Mm-hmm.
And right down, they had a post office, their stores, and the miners all lived right around them, put up some mining houses, and the biggest part of them lived right there, see?
When you started your mining, did the community still exist there?
When I was a child, there was Colfax was still there. The mine was still operating. See,
uh-huh.
when I was a child, and
when did the community disintegrate?
Oh, I don't know. Must have been. I would say maybe around 1910, 1914, around in there. I think they were pretty well done. They had two mines there.
So there was probably 20 years worth.
Yeah,
they
worked.
Community.
Yeah,
of
yeah
the
maybe
miners?
It worked 15, 20 years,
uh-huh.
Something like that. Maybe they worked. And it must have been a pretty good. I don't think the field was too big, but it had pretty good height. And they had two sidetracks in there,
mm-hmm.
and railroad in there, and they used them for hauling sugar beets through the sidetracks.
Mm-hmm.
They would push cars in there and throw the sugar beets in. But they had railroad in there for them two mines, and it was quite a. By the settlement, just like St. Charles is nothing but a mining town. It was nothing but a mining town.
Originally, that's how
yeah,
it started.
Originally, but it was a mining town. Now, of course, like some of these towns, they're ghost towns, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them stayed. They went into something else, like St. Charles. That was nothing but a mining town. That's all it was. But when the mines left, the fellows, they found jobs in factories, and they drove back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some big mines up there. But some of these other smaller towns, they just disappeared. Like Akron, they had a mine there. There's much left of Akron either anymore.
There's not.
No. And that's the way it went. And then, of course, they put these drill holes down. If you want, I can tell you about what the formation is on these.
Yeah.
On these.
That was going to be my next question on formation. If you could explain a little bit on the whole strata down to. From the top to the bottom, down to coal, about how that works.
Yeah, well, when they put a hole down, these drillers, they keep track of just what they hit, see?
Mm-hmm.
And they mark that down. Now, I'll just give you a description of just one hole here. They start out with 3 foot of sand.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had 77 feet of sandy clay. And the next was 12 feet of hardpan. That is about half clay and half rocks. You call that hard pan. See? Then they had 21 feet of sand. Sometimes they run into them, when they could put a hold on like 21 feet of sand, that could have been quicksand, maybe. A lot of times they hit quicksand, see? But anyhow, it was 21 feet of sand. Then they hit 3 feet of fire clay.
And what was that?
Well, that is fire clay. They make bricks out of fire clay if they have enough of it. See,
it's
harder than heck. But when the air hits it, then it gets kind of soapy like. See, and then when they usually burn it. It's kind of greasy stuff after the air hits it, but when you first hit it, it's harder than heck.
Yeah.
But the air hits it, and that softens it up, see?
Uh-huh.
And then they hit 2 feet of gravel. When you hit gravel, usually it's quite a lot of water with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hit gray shale, 12 feet of gray shale. Then they hit 5 feet of black slate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a 3 foot of coal.
Blow
that black shale. Usually that's the way it works.
And
black
that.
Shale, and when you have that, you have put a good roof all the time. You have that black
yeah.
shale on top,
uh-huh.
and then you have put a good roof. And that was 3 foot of, that hole shows 3 foot of coal at a depth of 138 feet. See?
Yeah. And that really wasn't even a very deep mine, was it?
No.
Some mines can run a couple hundred feet.
138 feet. Yeah, this vein, what we call the Saginaw vein, them holes, they run all the way from right by around about 135 feet to 200 feet. And then they had what they used to call the Salzburg vein. I don't know why they call that Salzburg vein. They had a couple of mines right there in the end of what the old golf course used to be in Salzburg. And that coal was down only 80 to 90 feet.
Mm.
They called that the Salzburg vein because it was a lot shallower than these other. And these others, much as I know, they all call that the Saginaw vein. And that's run from 135 to 180 feet. Some might be a little bit deeper. But this one here is 138 feet. Yeah, 38 feet. The next hole that was drilled, the coal was down a little bit deeper, see?
Mm-hmm.
But then this hole where they had that 3 foot of coal, they went down another 4 feet, which was fire clay, and another 3 feet was sand rock. They went down 145 feet, all told.
I see. Uh-huh.
And, but they had 3 foot of coal, and they had gray shale, and then they had a black slate on top. And then when they had that black slate on top, you have a pretty good solid roof all the time.
That's pretty good news when you hit that, you're going to have a good
roof. No sand or gravel or anything like that,
yeah.
But when you have that much, say 12 feet of gray shale and 5 feet of black slate, then you have a pretty good roof. But that's about the way the formations run. They usually start out. There's one start out with 80 feet of clay. One start out with next hole to it is with 4 feet of sand, and 64 feet of sandy clay. So that's about when you start out. But that's the formation is kind of interesting to see what you hit. See?
You've got to go through quite a few layers in summing it up to hit your clay.
Yeah, and then the driller's got to keep track of that. See when he comes and hits that rock or the coal, he's got to know there are so many inches of coal.
Mm-hmm.
Does it pay to put a shaft down or not, eh?
Yeah.
And all right, this hole shows 3 foot of coal, which was pretty good height in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
In your southern states, the coal is maybe a lot higher. But 3 foot of coal is a pretty good height. This next hole shows 3 foot of coal. And that's a pretty good, if you have all your coal shows like that, 3 foot of coal, 2 foot nine, 3 foot, 3 foot three, and you have a field big enough, you can mine quite a few thousand tons of coal out of there. by mining, say, if it's two-thirds of the coal and leave one-third down there for support, so you got to leave about that much down.
Would you say that's about the average in each mine, using about a third of the coal that you find in digging, you leave port?
About a third of it.
Even then, that's leaving a lot of coal.
Yeah, that's leaving a lot of coal. Sometimes...
Sure.
Sometimes they go and before they close up, and a lot of times they went in and they call them the pillars, what they leave in there, see?
Mm-hmm.
Sometime before they closed the mine, they went way in the back where they quit mining and then come back towards the shaft and pull them pillars, see? Because they didn't care if they caved in because there's nobody working.
Nobody was back there,
no.
So they'd pull them out as they came out?
Yeah, then they pull them pillars out, see? And that was usually good coal, see?
Oh, I see.
And a lot of times, especially when they had a mine which had a good grade of coal, then before they closed up, they pulled them pillars, see?
Yeah, they wouldn't want to leave it.
No, they wouldn't want to leave it, see? Especially when they had a good grade of coal, see?
Sure.
And a lot of them didn't pull the pillars, but years ago, big part time they pulled them pillars.
Mm-hmm.
But at first they leave that much sand because otherwise they couldn't hold the roof up. See, they had to leave. So that would give them every 30 feet there was a set of pillars, and between the entries there would be pillars. And but that give them. When they pull them pillars, that was easy digging. You know, you shoot that out. There's nothing on either side. And,
worry about men.
No, you don't have to worry because they let the cave in back of it. Nobody was working there anymore, see?
Yeah.
You know, imagine that's the way the coal business got going in the Saginaw Valley, as much as I know, by accident.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised. That's when they start drilling in Saginaw County, and when they found coal here in Bay County, somebody in Saginaw County started drilling, or maybe somebody found it by accident up there too, see?
Mm-hmm.
It was just an accident here that they found the coal, and from then on it started to, see, about 1893, from 1893 on is really where the coal business started to...
Till about 1912. Coal business was a pretty good one.
Oh,
wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe from about 1912 or 13 there on, it just started slacking off a little.
Yeah. See.
But up until 1912 or so, this was pretty good years in the coal mining.
It was. It was good. During the First World War.
Yeah. Right.
I know we worked Sundays.
Oh, you did?
First World War. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We worked Sundays. It was good. During the First World War, but then it started to. Why it was good there, I think it was mostly maybe the war, otherwise, maybe it would have slacked off sooner, I don't know. But up to that time, man, they had mines going all over, man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of miners.
Well, I say that for one reason. Michigan had all of its figures in books showing how many tons of coal they had mined and the number of miners working and their wages and this type of thing. And after 1912, they discontinued publishing any of these figures because there isn't only a minimum of so many tons in Michigan for the mining left that they evidently felt it wasn't even worth bothering anymore with it. But
up to that time, even I know up during the First World War, that Midland rolled that Black Diamond and the Wolverine, and number 6 mines, they were all going pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And Saginaw had some pretty good mines.
Mm-hmm.
St. Charles had some pretty good mines. But lots of them, they had folded up, you know, some of the smaller mines.
I imagine you had just as much trouble, if not more, during the years of the Second World War, when men would be leaving or be drafted to go into war while they were mining, too.
First, during the Depression, coal business was pretty good. It was cheap,
for the miners, it was probably a good life, wasn't it?
Yeah. When we put that mine down, well, we couldn't mine enough coal. They were coming from all over. For miles and miles, they come to get coal because they could buy it cheaper at the mine. And get himself a ton of coal for $4.25, and and all of them, we had them lined up there for half a mile sometimes.
Yeah.
Fellows come from all over and pick up coal. I mean, we worked every day, but then it just started to slack off, and that's when 1947 we closed up, and that ended the mining business in Bay County.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Well.
Anything else?
Well, what was the height, would you say, average in the valley? Would you say that ran from about 2'9" to 3'3" in that range.
I would say that would be a pretty good average.
Pretty good span, right?
2'9" to 3'3". If they had from 2'9" to 3'3" of coal, they were happy. Mm-hmm. There were some places where they had higher coal. They had some places where they had as high as 7 feet of coal. But they were just pockets, like. See?
Pockets. Yeah. It wasn't so much a large vein.
No, not a large field. Mm-hmm. See, but they hit pockets of it with 5-6 feet. But as a rule, when you had 3 foot of coal, a little bit over, a little bit under, they mined it as low as 2'4".
They did?
Yeah. 2'6", 2'4", but they had around 3 foot. A man would go down there and work, and had a place where he was mining, had a 3 foot vein of coal. He was happy, and he could make himself some money.
What about some of the drillers, the men that sunk the shafts to discover coal, to find the coal in the area? Did you find a lot of them successful and a lot of them unsuccessful? How accurate were some of the men that you
that would put these test holes down?
Test holes down to see about the coal, yeah.
Oh, there were quite a few of them, and some of them were pretty accurate, and some of them weren't so hot. But the biggest part of them, they knew their stuff pretty well.
Do you think it was experience that made them so well on their job?
Yeah, they knew how to put down the water well. They knew how to find when you hit coal, how to keep track. They had to keep track as they brought that stuff up. They knew how they measured it. I don't know, but they knew. They said, "Well, there's 2'9" of coal. There's 3'1" of coal." They hit it pretty much on the button, especially. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of brothers, but they were Kleinert brothers. Mm-hmm. Boy, they knew their stuff. They never missed. They said there's so much coal there. You make up your mind. That's they were right.
They were.
Yeah. They never missed. Then of course they had to put the shaft down. When you put the shaft down, the shaft was maybe 12 by 24, and it had to be timbered all the way down. You know, and it took them quite a while to dig that. That hole down to the coal, 135, 150 feet down, and it was a lot of hard work. You had to drill that stuff and shoot it and put the big dig. You had to put 8x8 timbers down all the way down, you know, uh-huh, to hold that, because sometimes it quicksands or the shaft wouldn't shift, see. We put that down in 6 weeks' time. It was the fastest that any shaft ever went down.
But in fellas, 6 weeks?
Yeah, the fellas were in depression. They were hungry, and
they wanted to work and get some money.
They wanted to get the coal out. See?
Sure, they did.
Yeah, that's why they worked. See? And they worked hard, and they had some good workers. And
did the wages drop very much during the depression?
Huh?
Did the wages drop too much during the depression when they were working at Monitor? Did they stay pretty stable like they did before?
We made pretty good money.
Uh-huh.
Well,
For those days, we got our coal,
and all sucks in the winter time. We made a size $12-$15 a day.
I guess that wasn't bad.
No, that was during rough times. Mm-hmm. And we worked all every day, all year round, till in the when the Second World War started, and it started to go the other way. And by 1947, well, really weren't enough. We still had coal left, but there weren't enough men left to make it pay, and it was getting expensive. When you get so far away from the shaft, a mile away from the shaft, you got to lay a lot of track, and you got to keep that motor road going. You got to keep your electric wires up, for your electric motors down, mm-hmm, below them, and cost money. And the rest of it, we just felt we couldn't keep on. We just closed the place up. Then when you close them. A mine up in the later years, you had to get a map surveyed and send it into Lansing. So if anybody would ever want to put down a mine or anything else, he knew this is mined out. See, at first they didn't have to do that, but then they passed a law that any mine that was abandoned, before you filled the shaft, you had to get a surveyor in there, because you have it surveyed every so often anyhow. Mm-hmm. But the surveyor would draw up a map just showing which was mined out and under whose property, and and how far this way and that way and so forth, and you send that into Lansing.
About when was this law passed, and when did it come into effect?
That was quite a while ago. At first, it didn't have it, because sometimes, I know one mine, they thought they had a lot of coal there, and the coal was mined out. That other company, they would sometimes mine coal under somebody's property, didn't even have it leased, and the fellow wouldn't get no royalty. He thought he still had his coal, and he had it all mined out. See? I know there's one mine that was going to go over there, and figured that fellow didn't have leased his land, and he figured he had a lot of coal, and they said, well, we'll put a shaft down here, and we'll work over towards your farm, and he got there, it was all mined out. But then later on, they passed a law that every mine, when before they fill the shaft, you had to fill your shaft up, mm-hmm. you know, with dirt and rock, a shale pile and so forth. And but you had to have a map right up to date, and you send it into Lansing, and everything ever should have come up. Maybe you want to put a hold on for this or that, and they know, well, this is mined out or that's mined out, and mm-hmm. so far. This is all around here, this is all mined out.
Yeah, well, I imagine it would be.
Yeah, that's what I know.
Mines around here were within 5 years of closing any of the mine in the whole state, so I imagine it would be mined out now.
Yeah. But now they got pretty strict, and they had a state mine inspector come around, you know, and inspect the safety part of the mm-hmm. mine, that everything was safe. And the state mine inspector was appointed by the governor. And he come around, made his rounds every so often, and they were kind of careless with some of the stuff, so it would be dangerous to the, you know, to the workers, and they have just had to fix it so it wasn't take care of it.
Sure. So, it was probably all done for the benefit of the miners.
Yeah, it was
and
all done.
In the minute
yeah,
work
yeah,
at
yeah,
the
you
mine,
know, had to
was...
have to have to have some safety rules, you know, just like they got the shop today. You they go well here, you come along and say, well, you've got to have something to protect these fellows' hands or this or that, and mining was the same way, you know.
It was for their benefit.
And how to handle the dynamite and dynamite caps, and you know, it was all kind of dangerous. But the fellows, miners, I never seen anybody get hurt with any explosives, and they handled a lot of it. Boy, every day, got it up by the tons, brought the dynamite out here, but the mine by big truckload of it.
Well, it was their livelihood and their responsibility. They had to take care of it.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Had you ever run into a man that had suffered any accidents, or had there ever been in working in a mine where there was any casualties?
The only casualty I knew that where a fellow got killed was back here when he jumped across the on the bottom across the shaft, which he shouldn't have done, which was against the rules. Mm-hmm. And he just was in a hurry, and he jumped across, and Chuck a coal coming and hit him in the head and killed him. That's the only time, that's the only man that I know that ever got killed, as long as I was on the mine. Mm-hmm. I know there has been some killed, but not where I was. I never, mm-hmm. that's the only one. Obviously, I've seen some fellas get hurt, and some fellas got hurt, and, and sometimes they get down below, they had electricity, and they had direct current to get a shot and knock them out, maybe, something like that. And I know I got it one time. And
pretty potent.
I didn't know what the heck happened.
And didn't know it hit you, maybe.
I was down below helping a fellow on the electric motor and put tires on electric motor to heat them. And they're hot, and then you put on the shrink them on, and then they cool off, the shrinks in. And I was lifting on this great big wrench for all I was worth, and all of a I was laying on the doggone ground, and I said, what the heck happened? And the electrician, he got there laughing like heck. And I said, what happened? My wrench slipped off? He said, no, you hit that electric wire up there, my lamp, see? Of course, I